So if giants did roam this planet, what's the significance of all of that? We'll check in with Stephen Quayle. More of that next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Stephen Quayle with us. Stephen, how did you start getting interested in researching giants?
Well, it was kind of an interesting story. When I was in film school in 1972, I started getting really interested in history. And during that time, I listened to Hal Lindsey, and Hal Lindsey was at the university. He was talking about Jesus, and he had just written the book, you know, The Late Great Planet Earth, during that time period. Mm-hmm. And I got a hold of a Dakes Bible, D-A-K-E-S, by a guy named Phineas Dakes. And he had a whole section in there on giants, and I was interested in Genesis just because one of the things I was in college doing was history, and I was doing documentaries. So the point is that when I started reading the Dakes, D-A-K-E-S, and I'm saying that so people don't hear me wrong, not dates as somebody eat, but Dakes, D-A-K-E-S, mm-hmm. he had a whole section in there on giants and began to fascinate me. Then I listened to a tape series by a guy named Derek Prince, and Derek Prince was a brilliant scholar. I mean, we're talking about one of the smart, and I knew him and spent a lot of time under him. And the fascinating thing was is that he had written, or forgive me, he had produced a series of audio tapes and also written notes along with it called Spiritual Conflict, in which he went into the whole chapter in Genesis. And this is one couple verses, George, that launched me and everything I've been doing for 40 years. I want to read it. It's Genesis 6.
That's right.
Starting first verse, first four verses. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he that is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now here's the classic verse. This is what my entitled book, Genesis 6, is about. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became the mighty men which are of old, men of renown. And these are the guys that we know in legends and myths. Now, notice there were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. That's before the flood and after the flood. And so the fascinating thing is that I maintain that mankind was given intense knowledge. And the only difference between, it's interesting. People will accept aliens, but they don't want to accept the idea that God created man. Now, when you get into evolution and you get into anthropology, the fact is that most people don't understand that some of the, quote, most famous discoveries in anthropology, let me just give you one. The Java man, which was discovered in 1891, consisted of only some fragments of teeth and bones, with some doubt as to whether they were from the same individual. Later, Eugene Du Bois, who discovered this missing link, admitted that he had hidden parts of thigh bones in the area to conceal the truth, because the fossil was originally presented as a link between apes and modern man. It eventually fell out of favor, since today evolution has conceded that man could not have evolved from apes, okay? Well, the whole point is, here's why, and here's the, there are some critical points. If you understand this, you'll understand everything. The Illuminati believe they are of the bloodline of the fallen angels. The fallen angels never went back to wherever they were. Some of them had sexual sin, those specific group of angels, the first group, are bound in everlasting chains of darkness. That's what First Peter in the New Testament says. But the rest of the fallen angels, and instead a third of the angels of heaven fell, they've been influencing mankind. That's why I love Alex Jones's title for one of his websites, Prison Planet, because yeah. This is truly a prison planet. And those things that have been chained are going to be loose. And most people give a casual reading to the Old Testament, for instance, the book of Joel, and they don't see the things that are there. Somebody took me to task, and I said, listen, when you're talking about the original Hebrew is real. They were arguing over the word giants, or Giborim, or the mighty men of God, or the Nephilim. All these words have a specific meaning. So when I started to investigate, back to your question, in history, and I took art history, so one of the things that I loved art history, one of the things that caused me to be so enveloped in art history was the, if you will, all of the major archaeological wonders of the world were always oversized in relationship to man. And I'm talking about things like the pyramids, obviously the Parthenon in Greece. We're talking about the Temple of Baalbek. We're talking about Tiwanaku. We're talking about all these things. So as I started to process an intense amount of data, it became obvious that someone bigger than normal-sized humans was here, and that there was an intelligence that was greater. And King Solomon said it this way, and I'm not going to argue with that guy and try to win a game of Mensa with him. He said, there's nothing new under the sun, for that which will be has already been. And I can tell you in my contact over 20 years with military, special operations, spies, and all those guys that the Lord in his goodness has brought across my path to tell me what's going on, they said the number one emphasis of all these, no matter whose government, is the ancient technology, and here's the bottom line, and the warfare and the instruments of warfare. Whether you're quoting the Vedic texts of the Mahabharata or the Vinayamana, the thing is that you're seeing astonishing stories of weaponry and the Vimanas, the aircraft. You go to the different pyramids, and you see, you know, what it almost seems like are F-86 fighter planes, and we see helicopters, and see things that indicate that there was an ability of the ancients to not only see the future, but through the portals go through it. And by the way, in the Native American studies done by the U.S. military, I want to read kind of an interesting thing a little later in the program, but basically say, here's the bottom line, George, the military contends, and these portals will have startling significance in the years ahead. Now, what does that mean? They're not denying they exist, but the portals are talking in the context that some of the sites are still so sacred and so secret that the natives probably in wisdom don't want to tell the military where they're at, because we knew from things like Mel's Hole and different things, whenever anomaly of world-class importance is found, instantly the military cordons off the area and sees the area around it. And you and I, and you've done stories with other people on that.
The portals sound like time machines, don't they, almost?
Well, time more traveling? Like stargates. I think a better word would be a stargate, because, again, a stargate is something that most people simply don't want to grasp, or they think, it's just a science fiction thing. So when we go to, let's just go jump really quick, if you don't mind. It's on your website, so people can go to coasttocoastam.com, and we're going to talk to the about the giant that Klaus Dohna and others found fragments to, this 25-foot-tall guy or being, and they reconstructed him on the basis of all the proportions. And Klaus has gone worldwide searching for artifacts, and he actually put on, I haven't talked to him in a couple of years, but about 4 or 5 years ago, he put on in South Korea, I believe in Japan, probably the most striking artifacts that are out of time and out of place. We call them uparts, out-of-place artifacts. So the thing is that by understanding Genesis 6, you can understand the whole development of mankind, the interference, the implements of war. And in my new book, by the way, True Legends, I actually reproduce the Book of Giants, which are a Dead Sea Scroll, talking about this, and also the Book of Enoch. Now, the Book of Enoch isn't like an Encyclopedia Britannica. We only have fragments of it, and it's recording history that Enoch lived to be 360 years old before God took him, and he was not, because God took him. In other words, translated him. But he wrote a book for every year of his life about all the mysteries of heaven. Well, purportedly, obviously, the library in Alexandria had it. Supposedly, there are other depositories around the world. And the Illuminists, who believe they're of the bloodline of the fallen angels, which brings us to the whole genetic human genome, they absolutely have contempt. I spoke to probably one of the most brilliant men within the last 24 hours, connected with, let's just say this, the top think tank in the world. Everybody would know if I mentioned it. And he was talking about the passion of the Illuminists to absolutely identify their own, and here's the clincher, destroy everyone else. You follow now, me? They believe they're gods. They believe we're ants. They believe they have been given authority. It all goes back to the eternal conflict between Lucifer and Jesus. And, you know, this is something interesting. When Jesus said he's going to build his called out ones, or his body believers, church, ecclesia, on faith, on the rock of faith, the bottom line is he also said the gates of hell will not prevail. I think Tom Horn should be given amazing kudos For when God opened that revelation to him, the gates of hell, what does a gate do? A gate either holds something back or allows something through. You usually don't have someone attacked with a killer gate, okay? But what comes through a gate, and a gate, again, George, just to make it clear, a gate is a portal or a stargate. The word star literally means angel in Hebrew, and the same thing in Greek, messengers. The Bible teaches that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to those who are heirs of salvation. So beyond what you and I see, we've got the whole alien phenomenon. And when I wrote my book, Aliens and Fallen Angels, The Sexual Corruption of the Human Race, it doesn't dawn on people that an advanced alien civilization probably doesn't have, and I've said this before on your show, doesn't have to stop off at planet Earth for a good time with Earth girls, okay?
Well, that's true. It just doesn't
make sense.
Why are they hiding the story of the giants? What are they afraid of?
They're afraid of it would point to the relevancy of the Bible. It would point to Genesis 6. If that's true, they can't. They've always tried to fableize the Bible while controlling it. Understand, it points directly to the Bible. It points to spiritual conflict. It points to sin. It points to redemption. So the last thing the Illuminists or the Luciferians or the powers behind the scene want is to give God any glory. It's even so much so that they won't even name the name of Jesus. They call him the Nazarene. They call God the Demiurge. The point is that it's like the second Psalm says, we will not have this man rule over us. So we've got the conflict of the book of Revelation. We've got this colossal and celestial battle going on. And the plan, I think Tom Horn gave the greatest example was he on your show?
He's been on.
He was talking about the Vatican astronomy.
Yes.
What was it? At least a dozen Vatican astronomers are talking about the coming one, the alien God coming to save humanity, and with leather wings. Did he discuss that on your show?
He talked a little bit about it. It's a wild story, Stephen.
It's a wild story, but here's what people don't understand. When Malachi Martin, and I will make this statement, I think within 2 days after he died, was murdered, the famous Art Bell interview with Malachi Martin, the books of him talking. It's interesting. People will accept aliens, but they won't accept God and angels. People accept the fact that there's devils and demons, and most of the world believes in that, but they won't accept the fact that God has a plan for redemption. So the genetic alteration, here's what it all boils down to. The fallen angels tried to destroy the seed of man, of Adam and Eve. And when by interfering with their genetics and their genome, it would make the promise of the Redeemer, Jesus, would be born through the seed of Adam and Eve as a kinsman Redeemer. Okay, now we fast forward. You have the flood. The only people that are saved are Noah and his family on the ark. But we also have never dealt with on this show, and I'm delving into it right now, a lot of the giants, if the technology they possess could cause them to go between stars, stargates, or have vast underground cities, then the point is that a lot of those beings could resurface after the flood, after the waters cleared. And so in Genesis 6:4, it says there were giants in those days and after those days. If you look at the amount in myths and legends, when you study Greek mythology, when you study Roman mythology, when you study any mythology, the underworld, especially in Mayan, Incan, and Aztec, holds such a sway over their belief system that somebody's always going into hell, Sheol, Hades, whatever they call it, because that's the place of the dead, and that's where they go to redeem their kinsmen. Gilgamesh, the Epic of Gilgamesh, the oldest known poetic narrative in the world. I remember doing your show back when the BBC carried the story that the tomb of Gilgamesh had been found in Iraq. Remember that?
I remember that.
And listen, it's fascinating. I actually talked to the general that said they took the bones and DNA of Gilgamesh to keep it from falling into hands. And I want to share something. I wrote a treatment once for a movie on this, but can you imagine if some of the most hideous and most butcherous men and women, as for a matter of fact, have had their DNA saved for Jurassic Return? And Michael Crichton did a wonderful job when he did Jurassic Park, because up until that point, it was only maybe formulated rarely. After Jurassic Park, Then we had all the stories of woolly mammoths being cloned and obviously Dolly the sheep. Mm-hmm. And I've told people, and this is one thing they think that I'm crazy, but based on people who live in the world of cosmic clearance, majestic clearance, and who know what it means to jump space, we are so far beyond, according to Bud Rich, the former head of Skunk Works, when he got drunk at his retirement party, saying, if, again, the American people ever found out that anything they can imagine, we've already done. Now, there's a head of the most top-secret research institute, whether he's liquored up or not, making a pretty astonishing claim. And from this point forward, it's called angel tech. Angel technology, the technology of fallen angels. So this is the whole point of my book. My books are always dealing that there's a central theme through history that the Native Americans understood it, and not maybe to the fullest degree technologically, but they understood the spiritual realm. And now through the technology of CERN and all of the different HAARP ionospheric heaters, the Norway spiral. Remember the Norway spiral? That was December 9, 2009, when Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize. So the point is that you've got so many coordinating celestial events. We've got the positions of stars, the late date, and I would say this, David Flynn and the masterful works he did. He was so far over everyone's head and ahead of his time that now people are only beginning to grasp what he was talking about in the books he wrote, Cydonia. And remember, George, the old days when Mars had no water and there was no life on Mars and the moon had no water? Haven't things changed a bit?
Yeah, pretty dramatic, too. Pretty dramatic. Steve, about, you know, in the way these stories of these giants have come down, why are they so petrified to admit that Genesis is real?
Well, number one, I took a glass of water, I'm sorry. Number one, it's because it validates the Genesis account that there are such things as angels and fallen angels, and it validates that there has been an intrusion, and it totally discounts evolution, okay? It totally takes it away. It identifies God as so unique in creating Adam and Eve. And by the way, I believe that was 6,000 years ago, but for the record, there were beings on the earth prior to Adam and Eve. They were not bearing the image and likeness of God. It could have been angels. It could have been the great civilizations of the past. But the bottom line is they have to deny it. And when you control information, you can make people think whatever you want. And so what I've done in the years I've been writing is lay it all out. And I get, you don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. Well, I can tell you this, and somebody took me to task. I literally counted the footnotes in my books. And I tell people, if I will take the effort to put the footnotes in, you ought to take the effort to walk at least in the steps of some of the brightest minds, I'm talking about the guys I'm quoting, that have ever been, and their findings. And you know what, George? It boils down to this. People don't want to accept giants. They don't want to accept this whole thing about the sexual corruption of the human race because it upsets their paradigm. And guess what? Here's where we fast forward. They're coming back. And people say, oh, you're crazy. Well, if they can reanimate a woolly mammoth and a disembodied spirit is a demon, and you can get, and people are fascinated by demonic possession. The Bible tells a Christian you cast it out. But
Hold on, Stephen. Let's get more into this when we roll right back on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen Quayle, next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Stephen. We'll talk more about giants when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Stephen Quayle with us. Stephen, the picture we have of the giant that was discovered in Ecuador. Now, this is a recreation, but it's based on the size of what, several fragments that they found?
About a half a dozen fragments, and it's based on they did a computer simulation of everything. And by the way, there's more fragments to this giant that is rebuilt, or let's just say this, what's a better word than rebuilt?
Reconstructed.
Constructed. The six most famous archaeological finds that anthropology is based on. So what Klaus did, he went around the world and he tracked down different people that were basically related related or had been to Ecuador. And, you know, the site was named by, and I'm going to probably murder this, but it's Shangaminas, which means Cemetery of the Gods. Now, see, that's important. I may not pronounce this stuff right, but and I apologize to all my Latin-speaking friends, or, you know, but the point is, Spanish-speaking friends, the thing is that when you see Cemetery of the Gods, it's just like the mountains of Nepal. Nepal means the mountains of the fallen one. Bhutan means the garden of the gods. So when Klaus and the investigators and researchers, some of these guys are world famous anatomists, got together, they recreated and replicated this giant. But where it was located, this is something that, again, George, is really hard to get across to a lot of people, that the amount of skeletal remains that have been turned up are in the thousands. But this is the first time that world-famous anatomists and others, when I say others, scientists have gotten together and built it. By the way, this was such a big deal that there was a 2.5-hour show on it, and it was by, you know, one of the most famous presenters in Ecuador. So the Ecuadorian government, I knew that this was coming, not into the replication process, but I knew that the Ecuadorian government, God bless them, they were making sure that the fragments weren't seized by the U.S. government.
Right.
And again, you remember the story we did about the gentleman that was coming from Guadalcanal with skeletons, and he ended up being blown up in Bali. Whether it was ancillary or he was a primary target, that's another story.
And I noticed they sent some of the fragments onto the Smithsonian. Probably not a good idea to do that, was it?
Not a good idea. And this is something, the biggest questions that you ask, I deal with immediately in True Legends. Because, again, it's you've got to understand that the Smithsonian is the man, and the man being those who totally control and absolutely will not allow this information to come out. Then they pass the Native American Antiquities Act. The best example of that was the Kennewick man when it was found that he wasn't even a Native American. He was a red-headed Celt. And see, so the reason the truth has to be suppressed is because the truth paints such an amazing picture of not only the creative genius of the living God, but also the history of man. And if you divorce, it's just like modern history. You take a kid that graduated in the early 1900s or the late 1800s, and he seemed like a PhD. I mean, you've seen the test, George. They've given PhDs who have specialty PhDs, they've given them the eighth grade graduation test of late 1800s, and most of the guys can't pass it. It's that tough. Now, in modern history, and in what I call revisionist history, all real history has been rewritten, and it's a total lie. Because, again, in the kingdom of lies, telling the truth is a dangerous proposition. Here's the thing. The book of Romans talks about, and the book of Romans was written by Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He has a supernatural encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and he sees that his understanding was limited, and now it's expanded by knowing who Jesus is, okay? And that's simplistic, but it's also bottom line and basic. So he writes in the book of Romans that when men knew God as God, neither did they glorify him as God, but they worshiped the creation rather than the creator. It's fascinating to me that we see that in all the major religions of the world, but now the major religions of the world, in order to unite under Antichrist, and that was one of the points that we're going to talk about, you've got the time period in which World War III must happen. That's why Syria is so serious, pun intended. And what most people don't understand is that the area of the giants that first came to Earth were in Mount Hermon. In Lebanon is where Baalbek, and Baalbek is where the biggest stone ever quarried in the history of the world is, and no one can figure out how it was moved. It's real simple. The giants did it. They used a thing called harmonic levitation. And the thing is, under Baalbek, I've been told by a general that there, and I'm talking active duty special forces, that there are hives of giants in suspended animation or stasis, okay? And when I wrote the book Long Walkers, which was fictional, the only thing fictional in that book are the characters and how the stargates work. I don't know how the stargates work. It's never been told to me. I know they're activated by sound, but I don't know how you determine, you know, step into a gate and you don't end up in some alternative universe, you know? Maybe that explains where our politicians live. Bottom line is that this the thing that we're talking about, and it's on your website, it was found in Loja in Ecuador in a place called, and how appropriate, you know, the Valley of the Giants, and the thing is, or Cemetery of the Gods, and the other name for it is the Valley of the Giants, and that's what some of the Spanish conquistadors wrote about, was literally the Valleys of the Giants. And in the Middle East, there's even a place called the Valley of the Giants. I'm trying to think of the Hebrew name right now. It escapes me. But it literally means the Valley of the Giants. So, look, if these people from all history, written history and tradition, have all of this stuff in their history and all the fragments and bones that show up, then I think people say they dismiss the stuff. You've got to ask what the motive in dismissing the truth is. It's kind of like when the Terminator movies came out. Most people, when they saw that, did not see the implications for the future. When I saw that, I knew where it was headed. It's why I made the statement, and you and I have talked about it almost exhaustively, that when you see science fiction, like Minority Report, when you see the telegraphing of, by the way, Hollywood and the Central Intelligence Agency have had a love affair since the movies became popular after, you know, the sound movies became popular. So the point is that, I don't mean to sound redundant there, but there has always been, it was reported that Gene Roddenberry was a CIA agent. Obviously, in the old days, we had reports of this guy and that guy being tied to the agency. But that's how you dismiss the truth. It's kind of like the National Enquirer, but the World Weekly News in Tommy Lee Jones in the first Men in Black. You know, you see him reading one of those tabloids, and he's reading it, and his statement is, it's the only real news there is. By shrouding the real news in skepticism and mockery, you know, and then putting in just crazy stories, they basically put it all in one lump. And that's why you answer, they, in effect, the guys behind the scenes have answered the curiosity by dismissing it so people stop there. Well, researchers don't stop there. Richard Hoagland doesn't stop there. The guys who have gone into places that most people won't even acknowledge. Basiago, when he talks about the jump rooms, he knows what he's talking about. And it's hard for most people to understand that there is at a point in someone's life where they've lived a lie, they've believed a lie and perpetrated a lie when they want to come clean. And it's just like the whole story of Roswell Forward. There were people that saw what they saw. So the whole control of information is to either discredit, mock, ridicule, or destroy. That's pretty much the bottom line when it comes to the truth of history.
You're concerned about evil supernatural encounters. Tell me why.
Because I think we're seeing them, and I believe that a lot of the alien phenomenon is transdimensional. And to prove that, can I just make a quote that is in my book, and it's important. This is, if you had to say, what's the most important thing, the most astonishing thing, or the most wow that you could say in one paragraph, this would be it. It was written by Richard Stoffel, Native American Sacred Sites in the Department of Defense. I want to read this. The admission that space-time portals exist and that spiritual people can use them to move from one physical universe to another has been a very recent development preceding this study by only a few years. Conversations with people from the Sioux, Gros Ventre, Cheyenne, and Cherokee within the past several years, now held in strict confidence as to particularities, seem to suggest that these sites will be very important in the future. And then I write, in other words, there are stargates in operation, and the confidential information that came out during interviews means they will become important in the future. I might suggest that all that's missing from this footnote is about 20 exclamation marks at the end of it. So this isn't science fiction. This isn't, you know, my wild imagination. This is not speculation.
It's real.
This is the findings of one of the biggest reports ever funded by the Department of Defense.
It's real. Well, can we win this fight, Stephen? You know, we've been talking about it for 10 years. It seems to be heating up. Or you're also concerned about the possibility of another third war. So which way do we go?
Well, I think you'll see one come out of the other, okay? remember, most people think linearly. And as you see the plan out of a world war, if I'm generating the war, if I'm bringing it about, and then I'm providing the solution, and the solution is a one world religion, therefore you don't have religious wars anymore. If I'm bringing about a one world currency, therefore one currency isn't better than another, I'm making all of us equal, except some of us will be more equal than others. And I bring about a man who seemingly has supernatural powers and abilities, which will be Satan incarnate. Then, you know, the Bible talks about, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That which takes place in the heavenlies determines that which takes place on earth. You know that Graham Hancock and others quoted the statement, as above, so below. So what I'm saying, as beyond, so will it be here now. And my concern is that the giants, okay, let's just deal with those specifically and then go into demons and other stuff. Mm-hmm. The giants are being reanimated. In other words, they are being called forth. And let's just say this for lack of better terms of making it easier. Let's say there's a force field around a lot of these fallen angels. And let's say that the force field is being powered down. This is kind of the basis of Tom Horn's writings in Apollyon 2012. The point is that whatever the containment is, God placed there for our safety. So the safety, I'm telling people, point out, you know, I make no apologies. The safety is in Jesus. Jesus said, hey, look, people can say, I don't want to believe in that Jesus stuff. I don't want to believe in God stuff. I want to believe the aliens are good. I'd say, well, look at Independence Day. The point is that everybody will believe in an alien savior, but it's kind of tough to believe that God says, if you want to be free of this stuff, he says, behold, I give you power, Jesus speaking, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Power is what it's all about. It's either God's power or it's the devil's power, and that's the ultimate conflict. People who don't want to believe in God, they're going to believe in something else that will manifest itself as God. The people that do believe in God are going to come into contact and conflict with that, and that's the war. That's why the evil wants to destroy the Christians. Right now, even if you don't like Christianity or Christians, you better thank God that they're still here, because we are still, to the degree we're here, the salt of the earth. We're still fighting it back. And guys like me, George, will go on writing until I can write no more, or until they shut me up or take me off the internet or whatever. And so the point is that the stuff I've written about was so far in advance. A good example of it is the stuff that people would not understand about genetic Armageddon. And that's the book I need to do a sequel to, okay? Because it's so far beyond what I then proposed a dozen years ago is now all fact. And now what I see, it was genetic Armageddon, today's technology, tomorrow's monsters. I have to come up with a new title. Today's monsters and the never-ending battle or something. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out. But the point is that we are there. And people say, oh, you're crazy. Well, where were you 20 years ago? And I'm not defending myself. I'm just saying this, that when you've written as extensively as I have, when you've done the homework, I'm 62. I've spent four decades on this stuff. Then I don't believe me because you don't like me or you think I'm crazy, but at least go and find out why some of the leading minds and the greatest thinkers of our age, and I'm not just talking about Christians, I'm talking about guys who are now having a real problem with singularity, who are now having a problem with the Borg, who are now having a problem with transgenics, and who are now having a problem. Look, we're being modified. The human genome is being attacked by the food we eat, by the air we breathe, and by the water we drink, and by the electromagnetic waveforms of energy that are constantly bombarding us. One of the questions I asked, and by the way, my take on Colorado, the floods in Colorado and New Mexico, total weather warfare, especially North Colorado. It's fascinating, isn't it? North Colorado or Northern Colorado, talking about succeeding from Southern Colorado and forming a separate state, or let's take the drought in Texas. The Texans are amazing people. They're resilient. They know the word freedom, and yet look at all the droughts and everything. Weather wars are real, and that's why Satan, Lucifer, is called the prince and power of the air, and that's what people don't understand. The technology is hidden from the average American because that technology can be used against them almost as a techno magic so that the guy who comes on the scene presenting himself as God, seeking to be worshipped as God, the Antichrist, call him whatever you want, but he will come on, he will demand worship, and he'll be able to call fire down from heaven. Gee, that's not tough if you've got laser cannons on a space-based weapons platform that you press a button and they launch or they fire. See, it's the technology that they want. It's the tech, and I coined a word, I think, about the time you and I first started doing interviews, I called it tech-necadence. And tech-necadence was technological decadence. And decadence, when people become basically nothing more than rats, and this is something we've got to cover in this part of the show real quick, zombies. Let me explain what zombies are. I did this series on zombies. Sue basically was one of my lead researchers. She passed away. God bless her. And the thing is that the zombies are the illuminous word for all of us people who stay on the earth while they head to their underground bunkers and they proceed to basically, how should I say this, get rid of the world's population. I could quote 100 quotes on the radio and people still would have the disconnect that there is a group of people out there that simply want everyone dead but them. And maybe that's a good title for a book, Everyone Dead But Them.
Well, you know, that's true. Give us a quick update on the what we've been talking about for years, the biochemists and the microbiologists. What's going on there?
Well, as more and more of the lead scientists die, and a lot of people still didn't understand that, it is still happening. It seems to be that anyone who's involved in the quintessential bioweapons program to facilitate the Illuminist desire to murder the planet's population by 90% have disappeared. The biologists and the microbiologists, the molecular biologists, the chemists who have all been offed, meaning murdered, under suspicious circumstances, were all involved at some point in a bioweapons program. And George, you and I did the Kelly's story about, I think, either within days of his being murdered, and now it's opened up again, the investigation, just like Princess Di. The point is that they cover this stuff up, but I've maintained, and I've said this publicly, and I said it a decade ago, before, and I believe the Russians and Chinese will attack the United States, too many prophecies, too many indications of it, that God will reveal the sins of the leaders to the people, and the sins of the people before their God. Look at what's happened to America. Everything that has been illegal in the past is now accepted as commonplace. Lies, direct contradictions coming from the head politicians. I didn't say that. They play the report. So there is a basic disconnect from the truth and reality that I believe proves that that was a true word. You call it a prophetic word. I don't claim to be a prophet, just a prophetic word, a future glimpse of where we're at now. And nobody was saying that 10 years ago, but when you said it 10 years ago, you're crazy. So where we're at now, we still have scientists, and the ones that are really offing now, it seems like they've switched categories, are astronomers.
Well, that's true. Stephen, more to come, and demons and calls next.